Good morning, everybody. It is August 13th, 2023. It's a beautiful Sunday here in Littleton, Colorado. We are supposed to get up to like about 73 degrees, just a beautiful day to be outside. And God is great. And so today we will handle body, soul, and spirit. So let's take your Bibles and we'll go to the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 43. Almost there.
I forgot where Isaiah is. There it is. Isaiah, what you said, 43?
Isaiah, it's right after Revelation.
I got it, but thanks.
43, yes, 43, 7. Everyone, it says here, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. So it talks about God has made, formed, and created us. He does three different things. And so let's go to Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It might be faster if I was doing this all on a tablet or something. I'm doing it with an old-fashioned paper Bible here. So 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God talks about he made, he formed, and he created. And he also talks up here that we have a spirit, a soul, and a body. So we're a threefold being. That's what a human being is. Most religions don't have a clue about this. If you start talking to a hardcore Catholic or something and you talk about body, soul, and spirit, their face will go blank like you're speaking German or Chinese, or you're trying to explain some engineering concept to somebody that doesn't understand engineering. They won't understand it, but it's very simple. So let's go to Genesis. In very first book of the Bible here, Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. Is that right? Oh yeah, this is right. In the sweat of your face shall you'll eat bread. And bread there is a metaphor. It's basically food. You're gonna to make your food, you're gonna have to work. And so Adam and Eve had lived in the Garden of Eden, and life was easy peasy. And now that they're no longer in the Garden of Eden, they're gonna have to work a lot harder. It's sweat. You know, it's like Diane and I were out working in the backyard yesterday, and you get out and it's 80 degrees and it's sun shining and you're doing some physical labor and you start to perspire. So in the sweat of your face you'll eat your bread, and until thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust shalt thou return. Now, what part of our body, soul, and spirit is dust? Well, the body,
Body.
yes,
Body.
because your soul life is not doesn't come from dust. The body was formed from the dust of the ground. That's why if you analyze a human body and you analyze your soil out in the backyard, it's similar in composition. It's trace minerals and so forth. And but God knows how to take something. God was how to make something out of something else, and he has skills beyond what we can do. So let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And it says here, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So God was able to take the soil and form it into sort of like working with clay. You ever as a little kid taking your Play-Doh and made something out of it? And God was able to take the earth and make a human body. You know, our scientists aren't that smart. They're able to take things and make the human body worse. But God's able to make a human body. But where does the soul life come from? He breathed it in. That's when people become a human life. Now, a lot of most churches will agree with what the Church of Rome, the Roman Catholic Church, teaches, that life begins at conception. And they'll argue, but see, the egg and the sperm join and it has human DNA. Well, of course it does. But that's just the body. That's the part that was formed from the dust of the earth. When does that fetus become a human life? It becomes a human life when God breathed into the nostrils the breath of life. When it starts to breathe on its own, that's when it's no longer being fed by the umbilical cord, but it's able to breathe that life. That's when it becomes a living soul. So let's go to Peter, the other end of the Bible, chapter 3, 1 Peter. We got Hebrews, James, Peter, chapter 3, verse 20. And oh, I was looking at 19. I was going to say, that's not right. "Which were sometimes were disobedient," that once, the part I want to talk about is the last part here. And eight souls were saved by water. And it was eight alive people. So God refers to a human as...
Well, tell them what they're talking about, the Noah's Ark.
Yeah, Noah's Ark. Yeah, basically eight humans, living souls, were saved by during the flood by being in the ark. Acts chapter 27. That's a similar record here. Talking about how... Oops, I'm going the wrong way.
Acts what?
Acts 27:37. Still flipping pages. Lots of pages. Pages and more pages. There we go. 26, 27. There we go. Acts 27:37. And, oh, I got to flip one more page. And it says here, and there were in all in the ship 260 souls. And what does that come out to? 274, I believe. 76.
I got 276.
Okay, if you do the math right. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's basically saying there was that many souls. Let's go back to Genesis. Chapter 1, verse 30. Genesis chapter 1 says, and to every beast of the earth, and every fowl on the air, and everything that creepeth wherewith there is life, I have given every herb for meat. And it was so. Now that word life there is translated soul. And the same thing in verse 20. It's have the word life again, and it's in verse, yeah, there. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly moving creatures that have life, and fowl above. And so that again is soul. So animals also have soul life. And soul is a type of spirit. It's not an eternal spirit. It's a spirit that's alive, and then it ceases to exist. Now, you know, the question is what happens when people die, and how does God bring people back to life after they're dead? And I don't understand all that stuff. I just know there is a gathering together, and we have eternal life, and we'll be getting into the spiritual side here in a minute.
Can I interrupt for just a moment?
Sure.
So maybe an easier way to describe soul is breath life.
Yes.
A life force. Like if people ask, instead of getting all talking about, you know, what you said, where it goes and everything, it's just very simple to explain to people, well, it's just breath life. You know, it's a life force.
And verse 21, and God created great whales and every living creature.
You said that already.
No, I did. I said verse 20. Okay. I mean verse 21. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, and the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw it and said it was good. So God created the life, and that's where it comes from. And it's, you know, when a whale mates with a whale, they have a whale. They don't have a duck. Doesn't come forth a little duck, quack, quack, quack. And that's just the way God set things up. Verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth read what's written here. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth and everything after its kind. And it was so. So he set up a whole ecosystem with living things. So, and then in Leviticus 17:11, it says the life of the flesh is in the blood. And so let's go here, let's stay in Genesis, so you don't have to flip around as much. Chapter 1, verse 27. And here it is, and it says, verse 20, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Because again, it's I think this verse was written by Yoda. Anyway, great God is. That's what Yoda says. Instead of saying God is great, you know. But anyway, but here's where God created spirit. So man, you see where God formed man's body out of the dust of the earth. Also, God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. So that's, he gave him soul life. So our soul life is what makes us unique. And it's like, we also see where animals have soul life. Right now we're babysitting our daughter's two cats. Those cats, they have a body and they have a soul, and they're different. Their bodies looked at. One of them is orange tabby. One of them's a black and white tuxedo. They look quite different. One of them is, they have very different personalities. One of them will act one way, the other one will act another way, and they have unique personalities because of their soul. And, but we have body, we have soul, and we also have spirit. Also, what I want to say here is Genesis, a lot of people will teach, even some Christian churches and the secular people will teach that this is a myth. This whole thing in Genesis is a myth. Say, well, it's just, you know, how can God do it this way? And well, you have to remember, Genesis is everything in it is true, but there's also a lot of information that's left out. God doesn't tell us how he did everything. He just tells us that he did what he did. And, like, for instance, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the faces of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That's what it says in King James. And that word was, if you look at the Hebrew text, it would read became. So God did not originally create the world without form and void. It became that way. And you see where there's parts of the Bible that God talks about, when he created the earth, he didn't create it without form and void. Originally, God was overall everything, which he still is. Second in command was Lucifer. Third in command was Gabriel. Fourth in command was Michael. And that was the order of the universe. And somewhere in ancient times, Satan, or Lucifer, rebelled against God, and he became Satan, the devil. And he was cast down to the earth with all his devil spirits. And so that's happened somewhere between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. And that's why when Adam and Eve were in the garden, Satan came to him as a serpent. And it's interesting, God chose a serpent. You know, if those of us that live in Colorado, we know we have these wonderful things. I don't know how wonderful they are, but they're rattlesnakes. And they're a powerful, dangerous animal. But yet, a snake has no legs. It has no arms.
No wings.
It can't fly. And it crawls on the ground. And that's symbolic for Lucifer. Once was an extremely powerful spiritual being. When he was cast down to the earth, he lost a lot of his power. And the people in the Old Testament, with body and soul, weren't really equipped to take on Satan. And from time to time, and like Adam here, it said, remember we read in verse 127, that God created man in his own image. He gave Adam spirit. But the spirit, now he gave Adam soul life, which is a form of spirit. Then he gave Adam Holy Spirit. But that Holy Spirit he gave Adam was by condition, that as long as he obeyed the commandments, he would keep that spirit. And it was throughout the Old Testament, people could get spirit by condition. We are sons of God. We got the spirit by birth. We can't lose it. Adam lost it. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, fixed that problem so that we have spirit and we can't lose it. So you got to remember that those facts, and you also have to remember that a lot of the stuff in the first few chapters of Genesis is very symbolic, and it's also incomplete information. God doesn't reveal everything he knows to us. Our brain isn't smart enough to contain it. Also, it's not scientific information. You don't see in here where God details how he created DNA. You don't see in here how he created gravity, how he created the laws of physics. We don't know how he did that. We just know he did. But what things he has revealed here are true. For instance, in John 24:4:24 in the Gospel of John, it says God is spirit. See, when God gives us that Holy Spirit, it came up in manifestations today, that God gives us some of what he is. Or was it today or was it yesterday?
It was today.
We had a prayer meeting yesterday too, so I sometimes forget what God says which day. I just know he says it. But God is spirit, and he gives us what he is. So he gives us that spirit. So, let's go to Acts chapter 17. And verse 17, chapter 17, verse 26. There we go. And he hath made of one blood all nations of man to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and so on, so on. One blood. We all have the same soul, because we all came from Adam and Eve. And even people that don't believe the Bible, if they believe in evolution, well, you know, there is evolution, but it's within species and not within genus. You don't have a horse evolving into a hamster. I said hamster because I know Sunshine likes her little hamsters. But you don't have that kind of evolution. You don't have a little mosquito evolving into an eagle. Well, they both fly. No, it doesn't work that way. But you do see where, like, earlier this year, we had a lot of moths because it was wetter than normal. So there was a lot of moths. And you see these little brown moths, little gray moths, ones that are black, ones that are big, ones that are little. You get all sorts of variations, you know, and the evolution works that way. But you don't get, if you take evolution back far enough, eventually you have to either believe that some big force created the life that evolved, or that life came from nothing. And they, you know, they'll try and say life came from nothing. But I read a book. I have a few books in my library. I forget the name of this one, but I think it's called Lie Evolution, or it's one of the books. But anyway, it talks about there's big number theory. You know we got like 100. You add another 0, you get 1,000. You add another 0, you get 100,000. You add another 0, you get you get millions and billions and trillions, quadrillions and gazillions. How's that one? Gazillions, there's no real word. That's just what we say when we don't know how many zeros there are. But eventually, you get, when something gets to be 10 to the 24th power, in other words, there's 24 zeros, eventually something becomes, the number becomes so big that it's functionally impossible for it to happen. And the guy went and proved in this book that for one enzyme in the body, human body, for that to just, for molecules to randomly come together by accident, and with lightning and sunshine and whatever, just ran in a little pool of water, you know, a gazillion years ago, for this to happen all on its own is beyond 10 to the 24th power, which is functionally impossible. Now, that's just one enzyme. You have thousands of enzymes in your body. Everything in your body that happens needs an enzyme. Enzymes take things apart and put it back together. So when you eat food, your body, first thing you do is you chew it. And in your saliva is a bunch of enzymes. It starts to take it apart. goes down into your stomach, gets taken apart more. It goes into your intestines, gets taken apart. It gets put in your blood, gets taken apart. And then your body will put it back together. We'll take these amino acids and we'll make proteins. And it'll make teeth. It'll make eyes. It'll make eyelashes. It'll make little fuzzy hairs inside your ears. Why do I have hairs inside my ears? God does, why does God, it's so complex. Why do we have fingernails? How is that different from the tissue in the finger? And for all of that to happen accidentally is so beyond the realm of possibility that it's harder to believe in that spontaneously generated, and it's a lot easier to just believe that God created it. So who's believing the myth? The scientist or the Christian? I say it's the scientist. So anyway, so there's one blood. So when, also, this is one that I taught a couple years ago when I said there's only one race. When people talk about, I worked at a place where people were crazy, and they said because I said Oriental instead of Asian that I was racist. People literally are that crazy in our culture. Of course, now it's gone even farther where they say all sorts of crazy things. But it says in the Bible there's only one race, the human race. And we're all of one blood. And if you look at humans, look at dogs. A lot of us like our little dogs, you get this big, I have a coworker brought his huge Great Dane into work. I mean, it was like a pony. The thing had to be 75 pounds. Oh my God. And then you get yourself a little Chihuahua. It's like 8 pounds. And everything in between, you get the little fuzzy white dog, and you get the scruffy hair black dog, and then the hunting dog, and all these other things. And
wolf.
The wolf. I mean, it goes on and on, and there's so many, there's a lot less variations in humans than there is in dogs. But we all know a dog when we see it. We don't get it confused with a cat. We know a cat's different. Cats a lot different. You try and get your dog to use a litter box. Good luck with that one. But, and so this is how God works. And, and also, see, the animal, they have a different body. They have different DNA. So the body is different. And then the soul that lives within that animal is different. The cat's soul is a lot different than a dog's soul. I mean, the cat, you say, here, kitty, kitty. And they'll look at you like, I don't want to come to you. But here, Fido. And the dog will come running to you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. they have a different soul. They're different. Yeah. But yet humans, we all go back to the same two people, Adam and Eve, and they'll tell us that's a myth, but God says it's true, because if there was no Adam, then there was no second Adam, Jesus Christ, and if there was no second Adam, we didn't get born again. We don't have the power to back down the devil. We don't have eternal life. Then we among all men are most miserable. We're just up the creek without a paddle, and it's S Creek, if you know what I mean. So why do most of these? Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. Yet today, most of your Christian churches will line up with the Church of Rome, and they'll teach that abortion is murder, and that life begins at conception.
Technically, life begins with the cell, if you want to get real scientific and technical about it.
Well, there's three kinds of life, and they don't understand there's three kinds of life. So I'm having trouble here. Matthew 15:9, that's where I want to go. And it says here, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So what people... See, there is nothing in the Bible that says life begins at conception. It says man, it says God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. It does say that, but it doesn't say that soul life begins at conception. Now, what kind of life begins at conception? The body. So you do have body begins at conception. But you know what? Even before you had conception, the egg was alive. The sperm was alive. They had that body. They had the life in them
and
as
DNA.
Well. They had DNA, yes. And when that little baby becomes a living soul, when it's born, the doctor will give it a little slap on the butt, and that allows it to expel the water that's in its lungs. And it takes its first breath, and it becomes a living soul. And like the question came up before fellowship, what about a stillborn? Well, a stillborn never breathed, so it doesn't have the soul life. But yet God is fair, and somebody was asking, well, God can God recreate a stillborn baby alive in the resurrection? I'm sure he can. I don't know. I've not seen it in the Word, but I've not seen anything that says he can. So I don't know. I don't understand everything. But I do know what the Bible says is true, and a body is a body, a soul is a soul, and spirit is spirit. And what's going to live eternally for us? That spirit, that's where our eternal life is. We're going to get a new body and a new soul in the next life. Exactly what that's going to be like, I don't know, but it says there'll be no pain. It says we'll live forever. You know, we were talking before fellowship about things that you can do to natural, what you can do with nutrition to counteract arthritis and keep from getting artificial joints and keep your original joints working. And with nutrition, you can do that. But even so, eventually this body's going to wear out. Our new body that we're going to get, it won't wear out. We won't need artificial joints. We won't get cavities in our teeth. We won't get arthritis. We won't get migraines. We won't get ingrown toenails. Oh boy, that's a big one. I'm glad about that one. That's a joke, by the way. But anyway, let's go one more scripture here. Let's look at Mark chapter 7. Matthew, Mark. And see what happens when, to me, it's the height of arrogance when somebody takes their own opinion and teaches it as if it's the Word of God. Now, there's certain things I have my opinion. There's some things in the Bible that I think, you know what, I think this might happen. But I don't have a scripture to prove it, so I don't teach it as if it's God's word. If you talk to me over dinner, I might say, well, you know, maybe this will happen this way. But I don't say, thus saith the Lord. I say, thus saith Jeff, who's right sometimes and wrong sometimes. You know, I'm just flesh and blood, making my mistakes, trying to minimize them as I go on. So let's read Mark chapter 7, verse 7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. They're teaching as if this is God's commandments. They're teaching men's commandments. So what were they teaching here? For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, of washing pots and cups, and other such thing. They were germophobes. Oh my God, you've got to wear your mask. COVID-19's going to kill us all if you don't wear your mask. The mask was useless, people. It had nothing to do with health. It all had to do with control. And same thing here. Why were they teaching doctrines of men for doctrines of God? They wanted to control people. It says here, verse 9, full well ye reject the commandment of God. They knew the word. They knew the truth. The health people, they knew those God-forsaken vaccines were ineffective and were not safe, and they pushed it anyway.
Yeah.
That's what kind of people run our government. That's what kind of people, what runs our government is puppets. Who runs the puppets is corporations, and the corporations are all about making money, and they knew they could make a ton of money off these ineffective and unsafe vaccines. And full well they rejected the commandment of God that you might keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor your thy father and thy mother. And whoso curseth their father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say unto his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift whatsoever thou mayest pre-profited by me, and he shall be free. Now, what the heck is that talking about? Who's Corbin? Who's Mr. Corbin? Is he the guy who lives two houses down the block? What's this? This is very poorly translated. What this is talking about is, in the Old Testament, churches won't teach you this. Part of the Old Testament, part of the tithe was, is you were to give money to your parents. You would give money to widows. You would give money to people that had need. That's part of what the tithe was about. But when Jesus Christ's time, they wanted more money coming into the church. They said, well, don't give money to your parents. Give it to the church and you'll be free of that obligation. And full well, they knew what the word said. Full well, they rejected it. And because there's a lot of preachers that get rich off of preaching the word of God. I am not one of them. Diane and I, we spend more on this ministry than we take in. We give out more than we take in, and I want it to stay that way. If somebody wants to send us a tithe, then that's fine. You can do that, but you can also give it to somebody else. We're not doing this to make money. We're not going to get rich on this. I still work a job. You see, in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul still worked a job. He was a saddle maker, and him and the other guy, Aquila and Priscilla, they were working jobs, and they were moving the word together. So verse 12, and suffer him no more to do what he ought to do for his father and mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition. Ye have delivered... basically, they were wrong. They make the word of God of none effect. And see, that's what people do now. They teach that life begins at conception. Well, what's the implication of that? Well, then, if you have a miscarriage, then a human being has died. If you're a woman, you have a miscarriage, we need to bring the police in to investigate. Maybe you went out and drank a beer and caused that baby to miscarriage. Or maybe you did something and you committed a murder or a manslaughter.
Mm.
You know, and they teach this stuff. Or, like the woman taken in adultery. Remember that in John chapter 8? The woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Well, wait a minute. Where was the guy? See, they always want to lay this shit on the woman. That's religion. That's the way the devil works. He goes after the weaker women and children. Now, I know a lot of you women are strong women of God, but when you're pregnant and when you're vulnerable like that, you're weaker. And that's why God gave us men to protect the women and children, and you have a family unit that's strong. And they'll lay it on the poor woman that, oh, you committed a murder. You had an abortion. And see how evil that is? That's a lie from hell. And they know it's not the truth, but they teach it anyway. But then again, like we were talking about before fellowship, I'm not a big fan of the abortion movement. You look at your history. Margaret Sanger was a racist. She hated black people. She thought black people should all be exterminated. She started Planned Parenthood to exterminate people with dark skin. She thought only people with white skin should be allowed to reproduce, and all the people with dark skin should abort all their babies. That's where the abortion clinics came from in Planned Parenthood. So see, it's, you don't have, this is one of those issues that I don't like either side. I don't want to line us up. And also, you see people marching for abortion rights, and they're preaching, "Hail Satan, Hail Satan." Mm-hmm. I don't want to be, I'm not involved with them. I don't want anything to do with them. But yet, I don't want to line up with the guys that are preaching their commandments of men for doctrines of God. So, when you walk with God, the people on the left and the right are not going to like you. But you know what? God likes you. That's what counts. So, it's already 12:03. I've been going on a long time, and I didn't even read all my scriptures. But,
Can I speak?
Yeah, I'm done for... Let me have a prayer, and let's turn this over to discussion. We'll discuss this for a little bit, and... Or you want to say something before I pray?
That's fine. Go ahead.
Okay. But anyway, Father... Father, thank you that we can know the truth, and that truth is simple, and that we don't get caught up in doctrines of devils, and we don't get caught up in evil secular doctrines, and we don't get caught up in evil religious doctrines. But Father, you just give us the truth. And the truth, like I said before, the truth is simple, and the truth will set us free. And that we are creatures with body, soul, and spirit. And Father, thank you that we can realize that, and because of that, we have eternal life. And thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the second Adam, who gives us that eternal life. And Father, I just thank you for all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.